Chapter 12. To Gain a Stable. I heard Silas knock on the door. I went and opened it. Silas was a strange, beautiful sight. The slick sorcerer bastard had my breakfast on a tray. He had turned himself into a cute black bitch in a red knit suit. It was the runt. I murdered the grin of relief in its jib womb. I twisted my face into a copy of Sweet when he bounced my skull off his John Wall. I said, "Bitch, I'm gonna croak you. Since 3 o'clock, I've been calling all the hospitals and jails in town. I even called the morgue. Speak up, bitch. What's your story?" She looked up at me. She was smiling. She walked past me into the bedroom. I followed her. She sat the tray on the dresser. She ran her fingers deep into her bosom. She brought out a damp wad of bills. She gave it to me. She said, "Daddy, my last trick was a 50 slat. All night trick. I caught him at 2 this morning. Baby, I gave you 128 slats. Silas had your breakfast on the elevator on my way up. With the 2 slats I gave him, I made 130. Oh, Daddy, I found some good streets to work a couple miles from here. It's in the neighborhood of a joint called the Roost." "You were a sweet daddy to be worried about your baby. Oh, I almost forgot. Keep your fingers crossed. I may bring you a girl one of these mornings. She's wild about me. Her old man ain't nothing. He's a burglar." I said, "Phyllis, there's more than one note in a song. You gotta string together 1,000 nights like last night. Now take a bath. I'm gonna treat those scratches. Remember, I don't want any junky bitch. Make sure she's clean before you cop." I forgot about my breakfast. I went out and got into the Ford. I drove to the drugstore and got ointments and salves. I called Sweet and told him the runt stood up. He reminded me to send that scratch to myself as soon as possible. I went back to the Haven. I sent Silas for hot food. I dressed her wounds. They sure looked bad. Those gold pills she had taken died. She fell asleep while I was doctoring her back. I ate and took a nap. By the end of the week, I felt like a pimp. I had an 8-bill bankroll, not counting the pork and silver. One night about 9, I got into the Ford. I drove less than 100 miles to Terre Haute, a small whore town. I sent 5 bills to myself at the Haven. I used Christine as the broad's name. Top was back in town, so I stopped on the way home and copped cocaine, yellows, and bennies. The run came in that morning around 4. She had 105 slats. She was on her way to stardom. When we were in bed, when I cracked on her, I said, "Baby, I think our luck is changing all around. I'm pretty sure Daddy's copped another whore. I met her in a bar about a week ago. It's a small world, all right. She says she just moved out of this joint not long ago. She went wild over me. She's a fine young bitch. She begged me to go to Terre Haute with her. She's working a fast house up there. I told her I'd run up there after she sent her first week's scratch. She gave me her phone number up there. I gave her my address. Tonight, I called up there. I asked her about my scratch. She told me 5 bills were on the way. Baby, if she's driving, we ain't hurt. If she sends it and it's respectable scratch, your daddy got a small stable." She said, "Is she a white bitch? What does the bitch look like?" I said, "Bitch, don't get shitty now. What's wrong with a white broad helping 2 spades? She's a boot. She looks like what she is, a scratch getting fine bitch in love with your man at first sight." It was a little after noon when the messenger brought the scratch notice. The runt went to the door and brought him into the bedroom. I opened it. The office was a half mile away. I asked the runt if she'd like some air. She was eager to go. It was a good thing I had gotten that driver's license. I had to go through a long routine. They even made me crack the amount I was expecting. I got the cash. The runt was silent on the way home. Sweet sure knew the angles to put pressure on a whore's skull. In the next month, I made 2 more trips to Terre Haute. Twice, I went across town and stayed in a hotel overnight until around noon. I was conning the runt I was visiting her stablemate. The runt was really humping. She was averaging no less than a bill a night. 2 months after the hanger whipping, I took a furnished 3-bedroom vacancy in Topps Building. It was a gold and red dream after the haven. The runt really freaked this pad off. I guess she felt at home at last. It was on the 6th floor. I copped 6 $200 vines at 60 slats apiece. The booster lived on the 2nd floor beneath me. The same week, Top cut into a stud who had a black LaSalle car in mint condition. He was out on an appeal bond, and his lip wired him he was joint-bound. I gave the stud 4 bills in his mitt. I paid off the last 2 notes on the wheels. I had 2 cars. I gave the runt her Ford back. She could cover and get down in a wider area. I started hanging around out at Sweet's pad, sucking up the pimp game. I got home from Sweet's one morning around 5. I heard the runt rapping to someone in one of the bedrooms. I pushed the door open. The runt was in bed with a tall, pretty brown-skinned broad. She looked 15. They were naked. They stopped kissing and looked at me. The runt said, "Daddy, this is Ophelia. I told you about her in the haven. Her old man got 1 to 3 in the joint for burglary. She wants to join our family, can she?" I said, "Ophelia, if you're not full of shit and you obey my rules, you're welcome. Have you bitches been in the streets working tonight? I hope you just got in that bed to freak off. Phyllis, get out of that bed and get my double action scratch." The runt went into the closet and brought me a roll of bills. She said, "A bill of this I made." I fast counted a yard and 75 slats. I took off my clothes and got between them. I spent an hour quizzing Ophelia and running down my rules. She was 18. The circus started. I was circus master. I had become too much pimp to freak off with a new package. They were the performers. She had put only 6 bits in my pocket. How cheaply did she get me if she blew tomorrow? It was the night before my 20th birthday in August. I had gone to the west side to cop some dresses for Phyllis and Ophelia. I had left the booster's pad. I was loading the dozen or so pieces in the trunk of the LaSalle. I slammed the trunk lid shut and locked it. I heard screaming and smashing sounds coming from a cabaret just down the street. I saw a hatless gray-haired man come staggering to the sidewalk. He was holding his head. The side of his head looked shiny. I walked down the sidewalk toward him. He was bleeding from a deep cut in his head. He was moaning and trying to stop the flow of blood with his hands. A dark, thin joker ran out behind the old man. I saw something gleam in his hand, and he raised his arm again and again. I moved closer. The thin joker was savagely pistol-whipping the old stud. He was beaten to his knees. He looked like someone had painted his face red. The thin joker turned his face. The light coming from the open door of the cabaret shone on it. It was Chris's Leroy beating the old man. 20 customers had come out. They formed a circle around the massacre. I moved to the outside of the circle. Then I saw Chris standing on the other side of the circle. She was screaming and tugging at Leroy's pistol arm. Leroy had gone insane. I moved around the circle closer to Chris. I stood behind her. I saw greasy stains on the back of her dress collar. Her hair looked frowsy and dull. Scarface was sure taking her to the dogs. I heard the screech of brakes. I saw 2 huge white rollers muscle through the crowd. Leroy was astraddle the unconscious Frigga, still pounding his pistol into it. They shoved Chris backward. One of them put an arm lock on Leroy's gun arm and took the pistol. The other viced his neck in a stranglehold. They dragged him to the prowl car and threw him into the back seat. A short, middle-aged white broad stepped to the side of the fallen figure. She was wringing her hands. She was wearing a bar apron. She stooped and stroked the figure's brow. One of them got on the front seat. He turned sideways, guarding Leroy. He put a microphone to his lips. He was calling an ambulance, no doubt. The other roller came back and stopped beside the white woman. He said, "Anybody you know?" She sobbed.
"Yes, he's my father-in-law."
He said, "What happened?" She said,
"Everybody knows Papa Tony loves to kid around the girls. He's got a heart as big as New York. Everybody loves and understands him. Papa Tony came in the bar. He started kissing the cheeks of all the girls at the bar. He kissed that one behind you. That maniac man of hers stopped singing. He leaped off the stage. He started to beat poor Papa Tony with his pistol. It's the first night the maniac has worked for my husband. If my husband Vince had been here, that jerk's brains would splatter the sidewalk."
The roller looked back at Chris. He started making notes in a small book. He knew he'd quiz her after he got the full picture. I touched Chris lightly on the shoulder. She turned and looked up at me. She got weak in the knees. She slumped against me. I took her arm and steered her down the sidewalk. I heard the distant whine of an ambulance siren. I said, "Chris, you had better split. That's a white man Leroy beat up. The white folks are going to cross you into it. After all, you're the reason he nipped." We got into the LaSalle. I moved it down the street toward the prowl car. I put on the brakes. A couple came from the front of the prowl car. They crossed the street in front of me. I stopped beside the prowl car. Chris could have reached out and touched it. I turned my head and looked into the rear seat of the prowl car. Leroy was staring at Chris. His eyes shifted to me. He leaped toward the front seat. The roller backhanded him. I saw Leroy's head dip out of sight as I pulled away. I made book from that frantic leap of his that he remembered me. The LaSalle moved quickly away from the west side. Chris was crying. I stayed silent until I hit the fringe of the south side. Then I said, "All right, Chris, I got you away from the heat. Tell me where you live and I'll take you home. Don't cry. You can bail him out when they book him." She sobbed.
"All right. You want to take me home? Turn around and take me to Leroy's jalopy. It's parked behind the bar where he blew his silly top. We got into town broke this afternoon. He didn't get the settlement. Maybe he'll never get it. I'm so disgusted. He was to get paid nightly for the gig. He does a blues singing bit now."
I said, "Bitch, you look like a bum.
You conned me you'd keep in touch. You were going to be my whore, remember? I should have left you back there to go to jail with your sucker man."
I realized I had a solid chance to cop her now. All I had to do was stay strong and bluff her. Leroy was a cinch to get a bit. He couldn't make bail. Chris had no out but me. She sure looked like my third whore. I coasted into the curb. I left the engine running. We were parked in front of a flea bag hotel. I had maybe a 2500 slat roll in my pocket I flashed for her. I peeled off a saw buck. I held it toward her. She ignored it. She said,
"Blood, it wasn't that I didn't think of you. I wanted to call you. I wanted to keep my word. Leroy never let me out of his sight. He would even follow me to the toilet. You don't know how much I hate him. I hope he gets life. Don't cut me loose, Blood. I'll keep my promises. I'm free now. I'm yours, baby. Tell me to jump in the river. I'll do it."
I said, No, Chris. I'm afraid of you. I think Leroy has made a tramp jive bitch out of you. I'm pimping too good to bring a headache into the stable. I'll always be your friend, Chris. My ticket is bleeding for you, baby. I gotta think of number one. My whores are humping 16 hours a day in the street. They love it. I don't figure you got the guts and heart for the street track. Chris, for the rest of my life, I'll be sad when I think of you. I'll have a lump in my throat when I think what might have been. Take this saw, Buck, baby, and best of luck always. Goodbye, Chris. Please split before I get weak and let you be my whore. I reached across her and opened the car door. My skull was hitting on all 175 cylinders. I was cinching her. I remembered her name, Christine, on all those Terre Haute money orders I'd been sending myself. She was the runt's ghost gadfly come to life. She pulled the door shut. She hurled herself against me. She held on to me and wailed like maybe I was her dead mama on the way back to the grave after a brief visit. She blubbered.
Blood, please don't cut me loose. I'm not a lazy bitch. Give me a chance. I want to amount to something. Please take me with you. I won't let you down. I can hold my own against any bitch.
I pulled out. I was headed home. I was a fox with a rare pretty hen in my jib. I knew the runt and Ophelia were in the street. In the trunk, I had six dresses I'd cop for Ophelia. I was sure they'd fit Chris. I said, "Bitch, I'm gonna gamble on you. I'm taking you to your new pad. You gotta understand one thing. You can't bring in scratch under a bill of night. You do? I may light my cigarettes with it or use it to wipe my ass. You're going to meet and work in the street tonight with your sisters. I'm going to give you a rundown. Flap your horns and remember it. It will bring you into the family with some stardust on your tail. Chris, you're lucky. A whore of mine croaked in Terre Haute just a week ago. Her heart stopped while she was turning a trick. She was a martyr. Her name was Christine. I went up there and blew a couple of hundred grand for her funeral. I guess I felt guilty about blowing all that scratch on the broad I had only for a couple of months or so. I didn't tell the stable about her death.
Maybe I went all out on her funeral because she had your name.
I just don't know. Anyway, the stable never met her. They sure have a lot of respect for that long scratch she sent me every week from the whorehouse. Chris, you're that great humping bitch reborn. A week before she croaked, she begged me to turn her loose here in the street. I turned her down because I knew she had a screwy ticker. So, Chris, I know you'll prove to the stable you are just as great in the streets as you were in the house in Terre Haute. I'm taking you home to get pretty for the trick people, baby bitch. Chapter 13. The Iceberg. When she saw the pad, she flipped. A pink silk dress from the trunk fitted her perfectly. After a bath and a shampoo, she was again the gorgeous Chris I'd met at the Haven. I gave her two gold pills and took her to the street for the cut into Phyllis and Ophelia. It was midnight when I curbed in the block where they were working. They were walking together across the street. They looked over at the LaSalle. I blinked my headlights. They crossed the street and came toward me. The runt stuck her head through the window on Chris's side. Ophelia was stooping down, pinning Chris. I said, "Both of you get in." They got into the back seat. In the rearview mirror, I saw them look at each other. Then, at the back of Chris's head, I said, "Phyllis, Ophelia, meet Christine. She's gonna work the street with you. She's tired of giving up 50% of her scratch. She wants Daddy to have all she makes." I pulled her out of the whorehouse. What the hell? The whole family should be together anyway.
Phyllis, I've told Christine 100 times how great you are in the street. She's hip, you know all the rollers and all the angles. I want you to take her under your wing out here for a week or so. I know there ain't a bitch out here that can pull her coat like you can. Now get out of the car and starve those other jokers' whores to death. I watched them walk away chattering and laughing. It was like they were real sisters. I looked at my diamond-studded Longines. It was 10 after 12. How about it? I was 20 years old. I was living in a 6-bill-a-month pad. I had 3 young fine mud-kickers. I was a pimp at last. I tilted down the rearview mirror. I powdered my face. I sat there gazing at myself. Finally, I pulled it off. I was going to Sweets to report my progress. I didn't get much of a chance to rap to him. 2 rollers from Sweets precinct were drinking and horsing around with 2 of Sweets' yellow whores. Sweet told them I was his son. It tickled them witless when Sweet told them what Satan and his demon had done to me. They told me not to worry. They would remember me and would wire the other precinct rollers not to rouse me. The rollers finally got crocked. The whores took them around the Chinese screen into bedrooms. Then I said, Sweet, I copped a beautiful yellow bitch tonight. I got her humping on the track with my girls. Sweet, the bitch is crazy about me. I know I'll hold her for years. He said, Slim, a pretty nigger bitch and a white whore are just alike. They both will get in a stable to wreck it. They'll leave the pimp on his ass with no whore. You gotta make 'em hump hard and fast. Stick 'em for long scratch quick. Slim, pimping ain't no game of love. Prat 'em and keep your swipe out of 'em. Any sucker who believes a whore loves 'em shouldn't have fell out of his mammy's ass. Slim, I hope you ain't sexed that pretty bitch yet. Believe me, Slim, a pimp is really a whore who's reversed the game on whores. Slim, be as sweet as the scratch. Don't be no sweeter. Always stick a whore for a bundle before you sex her. A whore ain't nothing but a trick to a pimp. Don't let him Georgia you. Always get your money in front, just like a whore. Whores in a stable are like working chumps in the white man's factory. They know when their sucker tickers they're chumping. They both gotta have horns to blow their beefs into. They gotta have someone to listen while they badmouth that goddamn boss. A good pimp is like a slick white boss. He don't ever pair 2 of a kind for long. He don't ever pair 2 new bitches. He ain't stuck 'em for no long scratch. A pair of new bitches got too much in common. They'll beep to each other and pool their skull, plot, and split to the wind together. The real glue that holds any bitch to a pimp is the long scratch she's hip she's stuck for. A good pimp could cut his swipe off and still pimp his ass off. Pimping ain't no sex game. It's a skull game. A pimp with a shaky bottom woman is like a sucker with a lit firecracker stuck in his ass. When his boss bitch turns sour and blows, all the other bitches in the stable flee to the wind behind her. There ain't more than 3 or 4 good bottom women promised to pimp in his lifetime. I don't care if he cops 300 whores before he croaks. A good pimp has got to have like a farm system for bottom women. He's got to know what bitch in the family could be the bottom bitch when mama bitch goes sour. He's got to keep his game tighter on his bottom bitch than any other bitch in the stable. He's got to peep around her ass while she's taking a crap. He's got to know if it's got the same stink and color it had yesterday. Slim, you're in trouble until you cop the 4th hole. A stable is sets of teams playing against each other to stuff the pimp's pockets with scratch. You got an odd bitch. You ain't got but a team and a haul.
A young pimp like you has got to learn not to cop blind. Your fourth bitch has got to be right to pair with the third whore. She can't be no ugly bitch unless she likes pussy. She can't be smarter than the pretty bitch. She could be younger, even prettier, but she's got to be dumber. Slim, all whores have one thing in common, just like the chumps humping for the white bars. It thrills them when the pimp makes mistakes. They watch and wait for his downfall. A pimp is the loneliest bastard on earth. He's got to know his whores. He can't let them know him. He's got to be God all the way. The poor son of a bitch has joined a hate club he can't quit. He can't do a turnaround and be a whore himself in the white boss's stable unless he was never a pimp in the first place. So, kid, rest and dress and pimp till you croak. I ain't had no rest in a couple of days. I think I'll try to get some Dars. Kid, these skull aches are getting bad. Good luck, kid. Call me tomorrow, late. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, kid. That rundown was a birthday present. My skull was reeling from his rundown on the way home. It was 5 a.m. when I got there. The runt and Ophelia were asleep. They were locked together like Siamese twins. I picked up my scratch off the dresser. It was 2¼ bills. I went and looked in on Chris. She was in the bed reading a book. She looked up and put the book across her belly. She reached under the pillow. She gave me a roll of bills. I checked it. There was 6 bits. It wasn't bad for a new bitch who got to the track late. She held out her arms. She was naked. I had to cop her some sleepwear. To avoid her arms, I lit a cigarette. She said, "Daddy, did I do all right?" I said, "Chris, you made a start. It's like the first buck of that million you're gonna make. I ought to frame it like a sucker who's opened a new hot dog stand. I want you to put that book down, get some Dars. I want you to take a fan to Leroy tomorrow. Hip him, I'm your man now. The family is gonna cabaret tonight. It's my birthday today. I'll get you a rundown of your first night when I wake up. I'm going to cop you a partner for the street real soon, baby. Good night, Chris." When I woke up, it was 1 p.m. I turned on my side. 2 big brown eyes were looking at me. It was Ophelia. She started kissing my eyelids. She said, "Daddy, you're so pretty. You got eyelashes just like a bitch's. Phyllis took Chris to visit that sucker in the shithouse. Daddy, can I kiss my candy?" I said, "Christ in heaven, ain't I got a whore in this family without a hot jib? Go on, bitch. Then get your kit and trim my toenails and paint them. We're all going to get pretty for my birthday party tonight." She said, "How old are you, Daddy? I bet you're 19. I said, "Bitch, I'm 119. I just got a pretty baby face." Chris and the runt got back from Leroy around 3 p.m. Chris had a serious look on her face. I said, "Well, how did he take the news? Did he hang himself from the bars before your eyes?" She said, "Daddy, he fell apart. He would have killed me if he could have reached me. He cried like his heart was broken. He said he was going to kill you whenever he saw you. I feel bad, Daddy. He really upset me. I'm going to lie down." I thought, "That square chump is sure a wing ding. I'm going to put the hurt to him fast if I run into him." We partied at a swank white joint near the Gold Coast. We got home at 4 a.m. I was sober. The whores were stoned. I went and got into my bed. I dozed.
An hour later, I woke. The three hoes were crowding into bed with me. They were stroking and kissing me all over. Mr. Thriller sure ached to be a circus performer. I was having trouble convincing Mr. Thriller. He had to take only one at a time. He was a pimp, not a freak. The ringmaster put the show on and stayed cool. It was 8 o'clock before I got to sleep. It was a month before I copped my fourth whore. She was a cute, tiny 17-year-old broad, about Chris's color. The stable had brought her home from a coffee joint at closing time. They took their breaks there. The little broad was a waitress in the joint. She was curious about the whore game. She was wild to wear flashy clothes. She thought I was rich when she dug the pad. The excitement in her eyes hipped me. I could make a fast cop. I took her into the living room. I cracked her into saying she'd be my woman and stop slaving for 30 a week. Then I gave her the pitch to tie the knot. She was sitting in a chair. I stood looking down at her. Her eyes never left my face. It was maybe like a rattlesnake charming a robin. I said, "Joanne, I gotta congratulate you. You're not only lucky, you're smart. You knew when you saw me that I was going to be your man. I'm hip that you were just waiting to meet me. You have wanted since you were a little girl to live an exciting, glamorous life. Well, sugar, you're on Blood's magic carpet. I'm gonna make your life with me outshine your flashiest daydreams. I'm a pimp. You gotta be a whore. I don't have squares. I'm gonna be your mother, your father, your brother, your friend, and your lover. The most important thing I'm gonna do is be your man. The manager of the scratch you make in the street. Now, sweet bitch, have you followed me so far?" She whispered, "Yes, Blood, I understand." I reached down and took her hand. I took her to the window overlooking the city. I held her against me. I said, "Look out there, baby angel. Out there is where you work. Those streets are yours because you're my woman. I've got 5 G's in fall money. If you get busted for anything, even murder, I can free you. Baby bitch, this family is like a small army. We got rules and regulations we never break. I am really two studs. One of them is sweet and kind to his whores when they don't break the rules. The other one comes out insane and dangerous when the rules are broken. Little baby, I'm sure you'll never meet him. Never forget this family is as one against the cold, cruel world. We are strong because we love each other. There is no problem I can't solve. There's no question I can't answer about this game. Tomorrow, I'm going to start filling your skull with everything about this game and street. I'm going to make a star out of you, Angel. Don't ask any outsider anything come to Chris or me. My little baby, I'll protect you with my last drop of blood. If any motherfucker in those streets out there, stud or bitch, hurts you or threatens you, come to me. He will have to cut my throat first, shoot me first. I take an oath to protect you for as long as you are my woman. Baby, I know that's for always. Now repeat after Daddy, baby." She squeezed tightly against me. She was in a trance looking up at me. She chanted along with me. From this moment, I belong to Blood. I am his whore. I will do everything he tells me. I won't ever fuck with his scratch. I will hump my heart out every night. I've got to make a bill a night. She slept with Chris that night. After the first week, I knew she was the perfect partner for Chris. Sweet was right. Chris and Joanne ran Phyllis and Ophelia into a panting lather in the street. I started wanting that fifth whore. Leroy got a year for the beating he gave Papa Tony. About 6 months later, Top and I were at the Roots Bar. A loud-mouthed joker beside me was arguing with a stud on his other side. I had my back to him, facing Top. Top and I had been shooting stuff for several hours in his pad. I was so frosted with cocaine, I felt embalmed. It was maybe like I was at the Roost, and I really wasn't. I had raised my glass of coke to my jib. I was fascinated by the tiny bubbles popping inside the glass. I was trying to count them before they all popped away. I heard an explosion behind me. My skull was numb.
It was maybe like the noise behind me happened a year ago on an ice floe in the Arctic somewhere.
I saw a light gray lid that stirred a faint memory. It wobbled across the log and stopped in front of where Top had been. I thought, that's a Knox 40. I had one once that color. That crazy joker Top was on the floor between the log and his stool. His eyes were wide in fear. He was looking up at me like he thought I had gone bats and was going to croak him. I laughed at him. I heard running feet behind me. I looked over my shoulder. The joker who had been arguing with Loudmouth was running through the door with a rod in his hand. I looked behind me. Loudmouth was on his back, out cold. He had a long red gouge across his temple. Some of the frost melted away in my skull. The bullet that grazed Loudmouth had torn my lid off. The joint was still. Top was standing and dusting himself off. The joint had emptied. I reached over and picked my lid off the bar. I took a casual look at the entrance, exit holes, and the top of the crown. I stuck it on my head. Top was staring at me. I tilted my glass and drained it. I turned to Top. Loudmouth was groaning and coming to on the floor. I said, Jack, let's get out of here before the rollers come. I ain't got time for a quiz. You know, Top, if my skull had been pointed, I'd have had a bad break. Top followed me out the door. We got into his hog in front of the Roost. Top was still staring at me. His jib was gaping. He said, Kid, I saw it, but I don't believe it. I've seen some cool studs in my time, but I ain't never seen nothing equal to that. Kid, you were cold in there. Icy. Icy like an iceberg. Kid, I got it. You're getting to be a good young pimp. All good pimps got monikers. I'm gonna hang one on you. Kid, you've outgrown Youngblood as a moniker. How about Iceberg Slim? Kid, it's a beautiful fit. Iceberg Slim, how about it? And I thought it up. Cocaine sure chills you. I guess you picked the right high for you.
Chapter 14, The Mistake. By the end of the year, I had copped a new 39 hog. I had blown Joanne 90 days after I got her. She was too possessive, and she didn't really have the guts for a long stretch in the street. I didn't cry when she left. While I had her, Chris kept her humping. I was thousands ahead of her when she slipped away from Chris in the street. A week later, I copped a young whore that was a whiz in the street and was hip to boosting. She went ape over Chris. She'd go downtown and come home with shopping bags loaded with fine dresses and underclothes for herself and her sisters. Later, she hipped Chris to boosting. I let them go down together with a stud who drove for them. They filled my closet with beautiful vines. Top got 5 years on a narcotics rap. The federal heat tricked him into a 4-piece sale to an undercover agent. I sure missed him. I hung out at Sweets more than ever. My name was ringing.
The moniker Top hung on me stuck.
Everybody was calling me Iceberg, even Sweet. Only I and the several peddlers I copped from knew that my icy front was really backed by the freezing cocaine I snorted and banged every day. I pimped strictly by the book for the next 3 years. I traded in a hog each year. I never had less than 5 girls in the family. I moved out of Top's building and let the family stay there. I took a suite in a swank midtown hotel. I had the privacy, the jewelry, and all the flash and glamour of a successful pimp. I hadn't managed to solve the fast track. I was fast becoming one of its legends. Top had gotten out. He was in Seattle with relatives serving out his short parole paper. Only one of his women stuck with him. The rest got in the wind when he fell. The runt was still bottom woman. Ophelia was still hung up on her. Chris was proving every day she had the qualities for a bottom woman. I noticed the runt was acting like she might be wearing thin fast. The other two whores I had been stable mates. I copped them when their pimp shot an overdose of H. I was at Sweets when Pearl Harbor was bombed. I stayed all night. I was still in bed. The friendly brown snake had brought me my breakfast. I was just finishing when Sweet walked into the bedroom. He sat down on the side of the bed. He said, "Berg, Uncle Sam just got his throat cut. The slant eyes just put the torch to Pearl Harbor. Whore's gonna make more scratch now than ever before. Berg, I got a feeling this Second World War is gonna hurt the pimp game in the long run." I said, "Sweet, how do you figure that?" He said, "You know a whore ain't nothing but an X square. A good pimp wears out a lot of whores in his lifetime. If there ain't no big pool of squares for the pimps to turn out, then stables gotta get smaller. The defense plants are gonna claim thousands of young potential whores. Those square bitches are gonna get those paychecks. They'll get shitty independent. A pimp can't turn them out. The older square broads are going into the plants too. Thousands of them got teenage daughters. They'll have the scratch to fill the bellies of those young bitches. They'll put nice clothes on their backs. Why the hell should they whore for a pimp? They can pimp on mama. The worst thing is, those plants are inviting whores with strict pimps to split and square up. If the war lasts a long time, pimps will have to turn pussy to hold a whore. Berg, ain't but one real heaven for a pimp. He's in it when there's a big pool of raggedy, hungry young bitches." The war was raging. The defense plants were grinding out war goods around the clock. Thousands of young and old broads were slaving in them. As far as I was concerned, the pool was still full of fine fish. I had 3 original girls and 3 new cops. It was December 1944. Sweet was still pimping good for an old man. He was down to 7 women, but this was great pimping for a stud his age. Top had settled out west. I had held Chris, Ophelia, and the runt a long time. Since 38, I had copped and blown 60 to 70 whores in turnouts. The turnover in turnouts was big. Some of them would hump for a month and split, some a week, others a couple hours before they cut out. Sweet had been so right years ago. The pimp game was sure cop and blow. I spent Christmas Day with Mama. She was really happy to see me. She hadn't seen me since 38. She cried as always when I left her. The runt was getting tired and evil. Several of those turnouts she had run away from me. All new turnouts I was giving to Chris to polish in the street. I started sending the runt to small towns near army camps. Some of them were out of state. Sometimes Ophelia went with her. A week before I met Carmen, the runt and Ophelia had come back from a weekend in Wisconsin. The runt and the other 5 girls were with me when I copped the 7th girl. She was almost a perfect copy of the runt at 18. She had a prettier face than a runt had at 18. Her features were more regular. Time and street had bulldogged the once cute peak face of the runt. We were at a cabaret. Carmen was behind a 26-game table in the barroom. I left my table and went to the John. I passed Carmen on the way. She gave me a strong lick. On the way back, I stopped and tossed a card on her table and rolled the dice, trying for a score of 26. I hit 26, so I bought us a drink with the score. I stood beside the table and quizzed her. She was from Peoria. She'd been in town a week. We had old party time in common. She had met him up in Peoria, where he was still living. He had a whore in a house up there. She had worked in the same house. She had run off from her pimp, and she was wide open for a fast cop. We rapped for 15 or 20 minutes. I could tell she went for me. She looked at the clock. It was almost closing time. I invited her to have breakfast at the family's pad. We'd had breakfast. I was leaving with Carmen. I was going to my place to put her under contract. The runt followed me outside to the hallway. She called me. I gave Carmen the key to the hog. She went toward the elevator. I didn't move toward the runt. I said, "Bitch, you want to rap to me? Come to me." She had a tight, evil look on her face. She walked slowly up to me. Top was right. These bottom broads, when they started to rot, really funked up a stud skull. She said, "You ain't thinking about bringing that bullshit bitch into this family, are you? That phony bitch ain't shit." I said, "What the hell? You mean you're gonna turn down a chance to larceny a new bitch away? You stinking bitch. Nobody tells me what bitch to have. You got the nerve to crack some bitches phony? I had to almost croak you to make you real." I noticed two of the latest cops were in the open door. They were eyeballing down the hall at our show. She shouted, "Nigga, you were a raggedy nowhere scarecrow until you got me. You didn't have no wheels. You muscled me for mine. Nigga, I'm the bitch that made you great. Without me right now, you'd go to the bottom fast as shit through a greasy funnel." I made a bad mistake. I should have maybe used Top's jelly skull technique to get rid of her. Instead, I left hooked her hard as I could against the jaw. There was a pop, like a firecracker going off. She fell to the carpet in a quiet heap. I kicked her big rear end a dozen times. I walked to the elevator. I looked down the hall. I saw Ophelia and Chris dragging her toward the apartment. The runt got her broken jaw wired up. She split with Ophelia. Chris said she tried to take two of the newer girls with her, too. I had made a pimp's classic blunder. I had blown a tired bottom bitch in the rough. Carmen was an easy cop. A pimp wants everybody who can hump his pockets fast. He's in real clover when he cops a fine young whore who wants him. Carmen really wanted me. She was starting with Chris. 6 months later, Sweet called me early in the morning. His voice was laced with excitement. I jerked erect in the bed. He said, "Berg, I got a wire the FBI is nosing around some of the broad lockups. They're quizzing whores. Your name has been cracked more than once. It looks like they already got a solid beef to go on. It's my guess they're trying to build a 5 or 6 count rap against you." I said, "Sweet, I bet it's that stinking runt. Christ! Sweet, I've sent her and Ophelia across state lines a dozen times since the war started. They're trying to ram a white slave rap into me, Sweet. What would you do?" He said, "I would give one of those nice, sweet jokers on the west side expense scratch and a ball peen hammer. I'd tell him as soon as I read they was found in an alley with their skulls caved in, he could get a cinch 2 grand. It would be easy to trap 'em. They're whores.
he'd be just another freakish trick wanting to party with two whores. Tell you what, Berg, get them whores out of that crib over there fast. Move out of your pad today. Go groundhog. Switch your whores to new stomping grounds. Stay out of the street after you move. Call me when you get out of there. He hung up. I thought, I'm a sucker. I should have destroyed the runt, Top's way. I had moved the stable and myself to new pads by 7 that night. Chris, my new bottom woman, was the only one in the family who knew the reason for the move. I took the hog and put it in a garage I rented from an old widower. The garage was behind his house, in a respectable neighborhood. I got a cab to one of my stuff connections. I was going underground. I had to at least have a piece of stuff. I had copped and was walking down the street looking for a cab. I passed the barbershop. I got a glimpse of the white spatted dogs of a joker in the barber's chair next to the window. I thought, geez, that square joker is pitiful. He ain't hip spats went out with high bottom shoes. I was walking fast. I had the sizzle on me. I needed a cab in the worst way. I was almost a half block from the barbershop. I thought I heard some joker yelling, run, run. I looked back over my shoulder. A tall, skinny stud in a barber's apron was on the sidewalk. His white spats flashed on his feet. He was screaming and flailing his arms like a minstrel clown singing Mammy. He was lopping down the sidewalk. The out-of-fashion bastard was yelping, son! Son! He galloped by the neon lights toward me. His wrinkled brown skin face changed colors like a chameleon. He ran into me and clutched me like I was a winning sweepstakes ticket. He was panting and sweating like a whore on soldier's payday. I can smell witch hazel and the stink of emotion sweat. I saw white specks of barber's talc on the bald crown of his head. I couldn't see his face. He had it buried in my chest. He was blubbering.
Oh, son, precious son. Sweet Jesus answered an old man's prayer. He's let me see and hold my one and only son before I got to my heavenly rest.
I had the damnedest thought while he made love to me. I wondered if my skull had chipped any paint off that wall he threw me against when I was 6 months old. I stiff-armed him away. I stared coldly into his face. I saw a weak blaze of anger light his dull brown eyes. He said,
God don't like ugly, son. You saw your father back there. You ignored me, didn't you?
I said, shit, no, I didn't see you. I thought you had croaked. Look, Jack, I'm happy to see you, but I'm in an awful hurry. See you around. He said,
I did my part to bring you into this world. You ain't gonna treat me like a dog. Where do you live? You look prosperous. What's your line? Are you with some big company? Are you married to some nice girl? Do I have any grandchildren, son?
I said, you haven't heard about Iceberg Slim? He's famous. He said,
you don't associate with black filth like that, I hope.
I said, look, Jack, I am Iceberg. Ain't you proud of me? I'm the greatest nigger that ever came out of our family. I got five whores humping sparks out of their asses. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. The apron was quivering over his ticker. He was supporting himself against the lamppost. His face was gray in shock under the streetlight. I jerked my shirt and coat sleeves up past Spike Hollow. I stuck the needle-scarred arm under his nose. He drew back from it. I said,
God damn it, Jack, what's the matter? Shit, I shoot more scratch into that arm a day than you make in a week. I've come a long way since you bounced my skull off that wall. Stick your chest out and pry, Jack. I've been in two prisons already. Shit, Jack, I'm on my way to the third any day now. You ain't hip, I'm important? Maybe one of these days I'll really make you a proud father. I'll croak a whore and make the chair. I walked away from him. I caught a cab at the corner. The cabbie U-turned. I looked at my old man. He was sitting on the curb beside the lamppost. His white spats gleamed starkly in the gutter. He had his head on his knees. I saw his back jerking up and down. The poor joker was bawling his ass off. I got home. I called Sweet. I banged a load of cocaine. It was the best I'd copped since Glass Top went to the joint.